Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Tempers were flaring last night during Lakers Pistons. Should LeBron get suspended for his role in the brawl? What is going on with Josh Allen as the Colts came to Buffalo and just mollywopped the Buffalo Bills yesterday? And I think the Chiefs have their swagger back. Let's hear it for starts. I can't do it. I'm actually the worst at it. Good Monday. There it is. Good Monday morning, everyone. Welcome to First Things First. Monday. Jenna Wolf, Nick Wright, Swagger Man, Chris Broussard, Kevin Wilds. Nick, you gotta love to see this. Nothing better to welcome in the week than this picture right here, I'm sure.
Well, you know, I mean, some of us, one of us saw this coming all along, and I'm sure we'll discuss it. Not dripping in arrogance or obnoxiousness at all. Can't wait.
Why do we not wait? Why do we not wait a second longer? Cowboys, Chiefs, here we go. Cowboys offense touted as one of the best in the league. Chiefs defense did not care. They dominated this game from start to finish. Picked Dak Prescott off twice in critical moments. Sacked Dak Prescott five times. Pro Bowl D-tackle Chris Jones accounting for 3.5 of those sacks on his own. And on a day when Patrick Mahomes himself turned the ball over twice, the Chiefs defense just bailed him out. They were the driving force behind a 19-9 win over the Dallas Cowboys. All right, Nick, you're up first, buddy. All smiles. What did the Chiefs prove in their win over Dallas yesterday?
Oh, well, they proved, and I know folks don't want to hear it, but they're going to have to hear it. They're the team to beat in the AFC. They are arguably the best team in the entire league. Once again, the road to the Super Bowl, either literally or figuratively, will go through Kansas City. And the thing is this, I tried to warn you all. And we're going to hear a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking today. We're going to hear, well, who could have seen this coming? This guy. I've been telling you about this defense for a month now. Wild's been laughing at me, accusing me of making misleading graphics, saying who cares about those stats? Oh, I care. You guys, they're the worst defense in the NFL history through five. I said, hey, have you guys heard of a man named Chris Jones? He's important. His wrist was hurting. He was out. He wasn't 100%. This team will, once it's at full strength, gets its legs underneath it, be who they've been for now the fourth consecutive year, which is the scariest team in the NFL. So I must ask Kevin Wilds a direct question. Are you going to apologize? Are you going to say to the audience they deserve more than, you know, whiplash takes of, they're going to miss the playoffs, the Super Bowl hangover. What's the number, Wilds? 17 of the last 20 teams to lose, blah, 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 blah. I'm just curious. Or are you gonna try to stand firm that the Chiefs, with the best quarterback in the conference, one of the two best coaches in the league, with home field advantage that all of a sudden is vibrant once again, and, dare I say, more swagger and confidence than all the other AFC teams put together, that they are once again the scariest team, once again the favorites, and once again the best team in the AFC. I'm just curious how we're going to start this morning, my friend.
Well, I do admit, and I have to apologize to all of America, you Nick Wright, Broussard, and Jenna. I was wrong. The Chiefs look fine. There you go. I admit it, Broussard. The Chiefs look fine. We rolled that highlight where Jenna's newsreader was under. Did you see a Patrick Mahomes touchdown in there? Because I didn't, Broussard. In fact, I saw a little bit of nothing from Patrick Mahomes. Jenna mentioned the two turnovers, but zero touchdowns. So here's the thing. The Chiefs are a good team. They're good. But all last week, we were saying, the Chiefs are back. They got their swagger back. Like, does anyone think that this Chiefs team, Broussard, be honest, reminds you of the scary Chiefs teams of the past? It doesn't scare me. They don't scare me. So I went and looked back. I'm like, well, why was I so scared of those old Chiefs teams? So here were the Chiefs' winning streak last year in November, starting from week 11, going back. Here were their point totals, Broussard. 43, 35, 33, 35. Whoa! A lot of points. And here are the Chiefs this year. 20, 13, 41 against the Raiders, congratulations, and 19 last night. The team doesn't scare me. I'm sorry. The Dallas kind of beat themselves. Chris Jones had an amazing game. But I am not ready to say that the, you know, full steam ahead Chiefs that we remember from years past are back. To me, I see a team with a solid defense and Patrick Mahomes who still doesn't look like the Patrick Mahomes of old. You can tell me I'm wrong, but I didn't see an amazing Patrick Mahomes last night. Did you?
All right, Wilds, you started out your spiel by saying you were wrong. And then as you went on, you became right. I agree with you. And look, let me remind America that I also picked the Kansas City Chiefs to win the Super Bowl.
You were shaky on it.
So I'm happy.
You were shaky on it.
I'm happy for the Chiefs. No. I'm happy for the Chiefs. I'm happy for myself. And I'm a little bit happy for Nick. And I was ready to praise Nick. Let him do his thing. Let him have his fun. Oh, your boys are back. Yeah, rah, rah. But you went too far, Nick. This is typical Nick, where you, because they're your childhood team, your hometown team, I get it. You grew up, it's all about Kansas City. I get it. But this is leads you with your emotions to go too far. All right, first they were going to go 20-0. Then at 3-4, you hit the all-out panic button. I was the one who was calm. The Chiefs are still fine. Nick, I'm disquieted, but I'm not panicking. You just mentioned Chris Jones. That's the first time I heard you say Chris Jones all year. So don't act like you've been telling us about Chris Jones.
That's not true. That part's not true. When the defense was terrible, I said Chris Jones was out with an injured wrist. That's not true. Hey, selective memory.
Maybe some of the pros pre-show meetings, post-show meetings, but I don't know that I've heard it on there. But anyway, and now here you go. Best team in the league, scariest team. I like my pick. I feel good about it. I'm with you on best team in the AFC because nobody seems to want it. But to act like all is well in Kansas City, it's just too far. And Wilds is right. Patrick Mahomes struggled. That offense struggled. I'm glad Clyde Edwards-Helaire is back. I love him. I've loved him since LSU, so I'm fine with him. I like that he helped him establish the run game yesterday. But they went their last 10 possessions, Nick, with one field goal. That's it. Against a Dallas team missing DeMarcus Lawrence, missing Randy Gregory, and they struggled. The defense was stout. That's impressive. No doubt about it. Hold the number one team. It was great. Chris Jones and Frank Clark. If they're back to Pro Bowl form, then it's great for Kansas City. But you can't sit up here, Nick, and act like everything is great with the Chiefs right now because the offense was struggling.
Of course I can. By the way, just if somebody check, maybe we can have Dusty get on this during the break. Are the people at Fox Bet and all the casinos in Vegas, are they also all from Kansas City? Because they all have installed the Chiefs as the favorites in the AFC this morning and the second biggest favorites to win the Super Bowl behind only Tampa. I don't know what Tampa team they've been watching. So maybe we can check and see if they're all Kansas Cityans as well, or if they are just soberly and dripping in objectivity the way I am, analyzing the game. But so this is a very interesting island that Wilds has dipped his toe onto and trying to draw Broussard onto, which is the island of these Chiefs are less scary because they're now winning with defense. That's an interesting island. I think a smarter island is, it might be the scariest Chiefs team of the last 4 years because they don't have to score 40 points to win. Because I am old enough to remember what we were saying about the Chiefs during that win streak last November. What was it, Wilds? Why are the games so close? Why aren't they blowing people out? Do you remember those shows? Because I was here for them. I think you were too. So now what you have, can we show my favorite graphic, please? You guys have laughed at this graphic. Eventually, you're going to say,
No, don't
Nick
do
was
it.
On to something.
Please.
This dominant, second half defense that has turned into a dominant first half defense as well. Do those teams matter to you? That Steelers team was a year away from, should have been in the Super Bowl if not for they lose to Brady 17-14. The Eagles team was in the midst of four straight AFC championship games. The Bears the next year went to the Super Bowl. Those are great defenses. And by the way, this is now we've expanded the window. We've expanded it wild to the last 30 years.
Retort.
Yeah, you can retort and say that for some reason the Titans were done trying to score because they were up three scores, so you want to throw that game out. But I think they still had their starters and they still had Derrick Henry and they're still trying to score. But tell me, what's the retort?
They did.
Well, tell me.
The retort is this. The retort is this. Uh-huh. You guys also aren't scoring points in the second half. Here are your second half points. Titans, you scored three. The Giants, you scored six. Packers scored zero. The Raiders scored 24. And last night, you scored three. So, yeah, the defense is playing well in the second half, but the offense is not showing up. Four of those five games, you didn't score a touchdown. So, yeah, the defense is good. But to sit there and act like that covers for Patrick Mahomes, who doesn't look like Patrick Mahomes, I think is...
Listen, you're right. Mahomes looks a little shaky, Jenna. I think he's third in the league in yards and third in touchdowns. He needs to be better than both those categories. One day he can grow up and be like Mac Jones. However, much like Mac Jones' alma mater, Alabama, when you have this dominant defense, you don't want to put things on film in the second half offensively. You want to save that for the bigger games. So the Chiefs leaning on the defense, knowing they're just shutting people down.
Sell some trucks.
Toughest schedule in the conference.
If you don't think the Chiefs look great last night, how do you think the Cowboys look? They laid an absolute dud. We're going to talk about that side of it still to come. They had problems two of the last three games now. All right, a lot of sports this weekend, including this right here, this brawl last night, Pistons and Lakers. Should LeBron be suspended for his role in this bloody mess? That's ahead. First things first.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
On a Monday morning, I'm going to go first with eye openers. I'm just going to take the reins. Sunday Night Football, you guys see the Steelers, Chargers, Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert became just the fifth quarterback ever to throw for at least 300 yards and run for at least 90 yards in the same game. And Austin Eckler added a career-high four scores. Both guys opened my eyes. Broussard, the player that opened your eyes in week 11 was blank.
Well, I've got to go to my hometown, Cleveland, and Baker Mayfield. Now, look, the good news is that they did get a much-needed victory to keep themselves in the playoff hunt. The bad news is it took a 13-10 nail biter over the winless Detroit Lions, worst team in the league. You just saw Baker Mayfield's numbers, 15 for 29, 176 yards, two interceptions, and 1 5-yard touchdown pass. And then it got worse. All right, he was getting booed during the game, especially after his second interception. After the game, he leaves the field immediately, doesn't celebrate with his teammates, doesn't acknowledge his opponents, and then doesn't speak to the media in post-game for the first time in his four-year career. And then after that, his wife, Emily, reposts on her Instagram stories a post from a fan in Cleveland that praises Baker's toughness. I get her wanting to do that. But it also ripped his teammates at the same time, saying they could learn something from him about being tough. She did take it down later. She obviously realized that it could be taken the wrong way, so she got rid of it. But this is just a bad day overall for Baker Mayfield. And look, I get it, and I'm speculating as to why he didn't speak to the media, why he stormed off the field. But if it was because he has the mentality of, hey, I'm out here busting my butt. I got a fractured shoulder. I've got a bruised knee. I've got a sore foot. I'm doing everything I can to win games and get this team to the playoffs for you fans. And you boo me? I get where he's coming from if that's the case. But Baker, here's the deal. Toughness, bravery, fighting through it, all of that will only get you so far. It's admirable. But it will only get you so far. At the end of the day, fans care about production, and you ain't producing. It's as simple as that. 13 points, that's the lowest that Detroit has a team has scored against Detroit all year. They give up 27 a night. You scored 13. This is also the fifth time in their last six games they scored 17 or fewer points. And guys, even in a victory, this is just going to heighten the noise surrounding Baker Mayfield as to whether or not Cleveland must upgrade at quarterback to get to where it wants to go. You see his ranks, 26 in completions. You see him, he's at the bottom in just about everything. Nick, not a good day at all for Baker.
Well, let's stay here just for a second. And Wilds, I want you to chime in as well. Because, so first of all, on the his wife posting stuff to Instagram. What athletes? Listen, I understand I am not a famous athlete, but I'm a slightly public person who a lot of people hate. So I can relate a little bit. You got to tell your family, stop reading the mentions, stop posting things on social media. Across the board, whether it's Mahomes' mom, Baker's wife, whomever it is, your fame only exists because of your proximity to the actual famous person. And you are making the famous person's life harder by posting these things. So first of all, stop it. Second of all, on this, Wilds, and you've been on this, you get no credit in sports for playing through injury if you play poorly. Go ask Scottie Pippen how much credit he gets for the bad bat game. Don't nobody care. He's bitter 25 years later. So that I feel like Baker has gotten the worst advice imaginable, and I feel like we are now approaching a nine-figure loss. $100 million playing through these injuries could have cost him, Wilds, given how this season has gone.
So do you think that it's more of a marketing thing? Or Alex Broussard, do you think it's a marketing thing where Baker is putting out the wrong message? Like, I'll decide if I'm healthy or not to play. He made himself kind of like an unsympathetic figure. When with just a few turns of the phrase, he could be like, I'm willing to go out and lay it all on the line for the Cleveland Browns. You're going to have to drag me off that field. That's how much I want to win. That's how much I love Cleveland. That's how much I care about this team. But it went the other way, and the fans turned on him. The media kind of turned on him. Or
it's production.
Do you
business.
Think that he is playing because he thinks that he doesn't want to see Case Keenum out there? So if you don't want to see Case Keenum out there, then you become, you're not a warrior. It feels more selfish. Does that make sense, Broussard? Which one do you think it is? You feel like, I don't want to get Case Keenum out there. I might get Wally Pipped.
No, I don't think he's worried about getting Wally Pipped. I mean, he's been the starter there now 4 years. He overcame Tyrod Taylor, a Case Keenum level player. I think he's secure in his position there. I do agree with you, Wiles, that he hurt himself with the I'll decide when I play, that kind of bravado. But honestly, I think it's as simple as this. He's a football player. I really do. I think if you can play, he got medical clearance. It's not like he's out there playing on a torn ACL or something. He got medical clearance. Right. Yes, he's banged up. We had Michael Vick on this show say he played with the fractured finger that Russell Wilson's been out with for, what, three games? So I don't want to praise Baker too much. Hello. I give him credit. He is tough. I like his toughness. But I'm not with you guys he shouldn't be playing because he's nicked up. No, it's football. You're able to play.
He's got a torn labrum, a fractured shoulder, a banged up knee, and a bad foot. And right now, no matter what people think of Baker, he's better than what he's shown the last month. He should be on the shelf. But let's talk about a guy who's not as good as people think they are. My answer is Josh Allen. All those chickens have come home to roost for the Buffalo Bills. You know what the Bills should have done, Wilds? They should have done the laps around Arrowhead like the Raiders did last year, because that was their Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Because since then, they've been terrible. Yesterday, Josh Allen, they had 7 points through three quarters. This year, aside from the win against the Chiefs, here are the quarterbacks the Bills' wins have come against. Jacoby Brissett, Taylor Heineke, Davis Mills, Tua Tagovailoa, and Mike White. And I've been telling you guys that old Magic Mountain Allen is a roller coaster. Show me the evidence of it. Every single, it's just up and down, up and down, up and down. It's not reliable. Eventually, the rest of the football media will catch up to the fact that great quarterbacks' passer ratings don't look like this. Someone had a great tweet yesterday, and they're not wrong. Josh Allen's last 8 years of football, one good one, seven not so good ones. Those are just the facts, America. That's not my tweet, by the way. I wish you could give credit for who it was. I don't remember. So my answer is Josh Allen and the Bills. The Bills allowing your Patriots Wilds to be in first place right now before Thanksgiving is mortifying for all involved, and there should be an investigation. Mortifying.
Okay. No one's allowing us to do everything. We are taking what is rightfully ours and has been since the turn of the century. My answer, go Badgers, is Jonathan Taylor. Nick, I told you, hey, don't draft Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Draft Jonathan Taylor, who's literally breaking records at Wisconsin. No. Too many carries. Can't catch the ball. Not fast enough. Wrong. 4 touchdowns yesterday, 32 rushes, 185 yards. He's now... he has 1,100 yards in the season. He leads the league in yards and touchdowns. Not only that, two other things I like about Jonathan Taylor here. One, sneaky MVP, quiet MVP. Wide receiver Michael Pittman Jr. said, hey, we've got to start talking about it. I said, you know what? That's a fantastic idea for the B block. No. So not only does he put up the stats, he's also emotionally breaking the other teams back. Here's my favorite stat. He's got 10 runs of 20 yards or more, leads the league by a far margin. Just for the record, Derrick Henry in his 8 games only had 3 of those runs. So those long runs where he just takes off can just kill a team. So look, I don't know if we're ever going to have a running back win the MVP again. It's kind of just become a quarterback award. We probably should carve out a quarterback MVP like a Cy Young award so Jonathan Taylor can get in the mix. But he's now officially on MVP watch for First Things First. Thank you, Michael Pittman Jr. Great idea.
Very nice win for the Colts yesterday. Oh, we got to talk about this. The brawl last night. Pistons, Lakers. Should LeBron be suspended for his role in this bloody scuffle? We'll ask these guys next. First Things First.
Speaking of bad refs, what'd LeBron even do?
There we go. Top story in the NBA last night. Lakers, Pistons. Lakers trailing midway through the third. LeBron James catching Isaiah Stewart with an elbow to the head while trying to box out. Stewart could not be contained. The guy's face was bloodied. He's just attack mode going after LeBron. Both guys ended up getting ejected. Lakers rallied from down 12 at that point to win the game. But the focus after, clearly, on the big scuffle.
Everyone in the league knows LeBron not a dirty guy. That nearly hit him. As soon as he did it, he looked back at him and told him, oh, my bad, I didn't try to do it. And then he tried to, I don't know what he was trying to do. But I know nobody on our team, 1 through 15, was having it. You know, we're going to protect our brother. I've never in 10 years seen a player try to do that. Well, since I've been playing, I mean, obviously we've seen it before, but back in the day. But in recent basketball, like, it was uncalled for. You know, you got cut above your eye, accidental, like, you know, it wasn't on purpose. And, you know, we wasn't going to allow him to keep charging our brother like that. Like, I don't know what he was trying to do.
With you here. Do you think LeBron should be suspended for what happened last night, the elbow to Isaiah Stewart?
No, Jenna, I don't. Honestly, I believe that LeBron was just trying to unlock it, get himself unlocked from Isaiah Stewart. Like, their arms were locked up, and he did it with force, don't get me wrong. But I think he was just trying to really get away from him and caught him, obviously, in the mouth and in the eye. That's what I think this is. Now, look, I get how somebody could look at that and say, oh, no, that was dirty. It was intentional. Here's why I give LeBron the benefit of the doubt. Because as AD said, he's never in his 19 years been viewed as a dirty player. Why start now against the Detroit Pistons? And then AD is absolutely right. After Stewart went to the ground, LeBron did go over there to be like, hey, you all right, my bad, well, apologizing, whatever he was saying to him. And so I don't think LeBron had any ill intention. Now, I think that the flagrant 2, it's warranted, all right? I don't think he did it on purpose, but flagrant 2 is unnecessary and excessive force in a hit. So you can say it was excessive, I guess. I don't think he, you know, you can argue that it wasn't. But the fact that they did give him a flagrant 2 automatic ejection. He missed this game for the most part. I think that's enough for something that wasn't done intentionally. As far as Isaiah Stewart, though, I think he needs to get at least 2 games. It's unfortunate. He gets hit. He's bloodied. He's probably getting stitches. And, you know, I get it. It's unfortunate. Now you're going to suspend him. But they have to send a message to Stewart and everybody in the league. This cannot be tolerated. You cannot escalate things like this. This could have really gotten ugly. Ironically, it happened to be in Detroit where we know the Malice of the Palace took place. But this could have really gotten ugly had he been able to get to LeBron, or had he gone off on somebody else, or maybe a Laker or somebody starts fighting with him because of this. So they've got to send a message. This will not be tolerated, Nick. I think Isaiah Stewart should get at least 2 games. LeBron shouldn't get anything.
Yeah, I've never seen, I can't remember a time I've seen a player that enraged, as just like wild-eyed angry as Isaiah Stewart was. We see what happened with LeBron, I don't want to say often, but we see it happen. And I kind of agree with you, Broussard. I think LeBron, because he had just gotten hit in the ribs, I think he was trying to get Isaiah Stewart. I don't think he was just trying to unlock his arm, but I don't think he was trying to get him in the face. So this is where I do think track record matters. LeBron's played 19 years in the league. Would you believe this was his first flagrant two ever? Because it is. This is the first time in LeBron's career he's gotten a flagrant two ejection. It's only the second ejection of his career. The previous one was because Kane Fitzgerald got his feelings hurt and LeBron yelled at him. So he's been ejected twice, only once for a physical act. Now, we've spent a few minutes on this. I understand the audience is saying you guys are bearing the lead. Yes, I know many of you did what I did, which is when you saw LeBron got ejected, you checked and said, oh, thank God, he got to the double-digit points. He just barely got to 10. So his record extends to 1,048 games. Jordan's still at 866. Second longest active, Kawhi Leonard, 175. So LeBron's record stays intact, thankfully. As far as the suspension goes, Wilds, I think track record matters. Here's the other thing that matters.
Yep.
You know who the Knicks or the Lakers play next?
I know it. Gordon Garden.
At the Garden, for the only time all year, on national television. I think that's got to matter.
Yep.
It is a business after all. Oh, Nick, that's ridiculous. Treat LeBron the way you treat it. No, actually, you don't. You know how I know you don't treat LeBron the way you treat anybody else? By the fact that his entire team lined up like he was the king on Game of Thrones and they were the king's guard. Like, everyone is like, okay, you're going to have to get through everyone before you get to LeBron. So, no, I think track record matters. I think who they're playing matters. And I do think, I agree with Broussard, that right after it happened, Wilds, the fact that LeBron went over to him, to me indicates that I think he knew that he was going to catch him. I don't think he was trying to catch him in the face. For all those reasons, I don't think he will be suspended.
Okay. Here's the thing, though. Broussard, suppose you are commissioner of the NBA. And suppose I work for you and I am in charge of doling out suspensions. You make the final call, but I give my recommendation. And this is what it comes up. All right. We looked at all of the evidence. We're going to give Isaiah Stewart 2 games for escalating the situation and give LeBron 0 games. Even though Isaiah Stewart was bleeding profusely from the face and mouth. And the guy that did, so he gets suspended, but the guy that did it gets 0 because he doesn't have a track record of it. I just think that if oddly, and this is a really convoluted thing, but it makes sense, because Isaiah Stewart does deserve 2 games for escalating it, it's almost like the bar has been raised, and now you have to give LeBron 1. You can't get the guy that got hurt and is bleeding a mess. It's not just like a little cut. I don't remember seeing this much blood, and that matters. The optics of this matter. You can't give Isaiah 2 games and give LeBron 0. I don't know how, if you were the commissioner, Broussard, I don't know how you would be like, yep, that's a good idea.
You can because of what Isaiah Stewart did. I mean, this was ridiculous. I mean, guys have been hit before. Like Nick said, I don't recall me, myself, ever seeing in my 26 years covering the NBA, ever seeing something like this outside of the brawl or the Malice at the Palace. And this, he tried to go through the tunnel afterwards.
That
you
was
just
wild.
Can't be doing that stuff. It's as simple as that. And I think Isaiah Stewart is trying, and I'm not mad at him for this, but, you know, he got into it with Blake Griffin earlier in the season and stood over Blake like, you know, an enforcer. I think Isaiah Stewart is that he wants that to be his role in the league, his niche. I'm an enforcer, Charles Barkley type. He's a good rebounder. He's a tough guy. I'm not mad at that. That's fine. We'll see if it works in today's NBA. But you can't. There's a limit to how far you need to go. And he went way too far. It could have gotten out of hand. Mm.
And it also seemed like he was not nearly as angry right after it happened. It wasn't until he tasted his own blood or felt his own
blood.
Maybe
saw the blood.
That he realized
that
he
really, really flipped out. I want to say one other thing. Because a couple weeks ago on the show, when Jokic shoved Markieff Morris, I said, the best players in the league, MVPs, don't do that. I stand by that entirely. I do not look at what LeBron did anything close to the intentional overt act of what Jokic did, even though it was maybe in the moment more damaging. And I see what Wilds is saying. I don't think a suspension for LeBron would be outrageous. I think one game is, you know, obviously the most they would give him.
Agreed.
I would understand it. But because of the track record and because you're at MSG on national TV, I think Ty goes to the king on this one, Jenna.
All right, we'll see what the league decides to do. We'll have much more on this coming up. We got to get back to a little football. Talk some Cowboys Chiefs. Boys only scored 9 points in this one. Is Dak at fault for the loss yesterday? Talk about that next. First things first.
Their defense, that's two more than the Packers.
First things first, we head back to Kansas City. Chiefs and Cowboys, and so much for lighting up the scoreboard. Dallas might have boasted the NFL's highest scoring offense. You wouldn't have known it yesterday. Dak and the boys couldn't do anything. Overthrows, drops, penalties. Only 276 yards of total offense. The most prolific offense in football stalling for the second time in the last three games. I mean, the Chiefs didn't exactly light it up either, but their defense held them in it, and they escaped with a 19-9 win, which means the curse of the top spot on Nick's tiers continues. Seven of the last eight teams on top have now lost. We got our Mike Vick here to break this one down. All right, Mike, who's at fault for the Cowboys' loss yesterday?
I'm going to say the Dallas Cowboys offense collectively. And, you know, yes, Dak is going to take some of the blame. He's responsible because he has the ball in his hands every play. But I think it was two critical plays that made a difference in this game and why the Cowboys wasn't able to get back into the game. The third down drop by Noah Brown early, I think, on the first drive. That was critical. And then I think the ensuing possession, the strip sack. And from there, they could never recover. And when those type of things happen on the road, big game in Arrowhead, where it's already a tough place to play, it's just hard to recover. You know, they never established a run game from there. I don't think Kellen Moore ever got comfortable calling plays, and Dak certainly never got comfortable in the pocket, outside of the pocket. He didn't do anything to help himself. And the one thing I think Dak could have did was just get out of the pocket a little bit more, extend plays a little more, and, you know, try to find some receivers in terms of, you know, just getting everybody involved using his legs. And he didn't do that. And the offense itself just flooded at times. So, you know, it could have been better. Obviously, like I said, you can't make those type of mistakes on the road in a big game like this. And it certainly came back to backfire.
All right, Mike, great point about the run game, because obviously Dallas is a top five running team. And I get it. You're down 16-3. Maybe you feel like we can't run. We got to throw the ball to get back in it. But they never really tried to establish the run. They only ran it 16 times. They averaged 5 yards plus a carry. I know a lot of that was Tony Pollard had a big run. But they never really, to me, consistently went to the run game enough. So I think you put that obviously on Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy. But overall, I've got to blame Dak mainly. Because Dak, look, I have said for years that Dak Prescott is en route to becoming elite. This season, I've started saying he is elite. A lot of people going into this game had him as the leader for the MVP. Terry Bradshaw, the great Terry Bradshaw, said before the game that he believes Dak Prescott is better than Patrick Mahomes. I don't agree, but that's what Terry Bradshaw said. And so you come out in this game and you lay an egg. This is on Dak Prescott. And I think the tone was set from the beginning. And I thought to myself, when he, the first play of the game, he overthrew Michael Gallup down the right sideline. Yep. He was open. If he connects on that pass, it might be a different game, possibly. And that set a tone. And then the very next play, he throws a short completion to CeeDee Lamb. Now, CeeDee caught it, but it was low. There's no reason for it to be so low. I mean, it was a good catch by CeeDee. That showed me Dak is off. And then all night, you saw him missing receivers. The play when CeeDee Lamb got injured, hit his head and got the concussion, it was underthrown. And so Dak was just off. And what this will lead to is what people have said about him for the past, really his entire career. He plays great against the bad teams, but has trouble beating elite teams. Here it is. This is for his career. You see, 39% winning percentage against winning teams, 81% against losing teams. This year, he's 2-2. They lost to Tampa Bay, obviously Kansas City. They beat New England, beat Carolina. All right, so I give him, you know, he's doing a little bit better this year, but I put it on Dak mostly, Nick, because he didn't show up and played his worst game of the season by far.
Listen, Dak now all of a sudden has played, since he's been back from that injury, he was awful against the Broncos and he was awful yesterday. And so I'm not putting it on the injury, but that's just the reason it's hard to put on the injury is the game in between, he was outstanding. So you wouldn't expect the injury to affect him one week and then not the other. Just since that time off, he's had his two worst games of the year. But he also could have been helped out more. And when you know you don't have Tyron Smith and Dak's Tyron Smith has been a good predictor of how effective Dak's going to be, and you know the Chiefs have struggled to stop the run all year, I was shocked and thankful that the Cowboys ran the ball 16 times and threw the ball 43 times. The first opening drive, three and out, three passes. Second drive, they ran on first down, passed on the next two, and the second of those two was the strip sack that we showed. So I do think they could have, and even then, because the Chiefs were never up by three scores or they weren't, you know, dominating the game, it was always within, the Chiefs were up the whole game, but they weren't running away with it. You could have gone back to the run at some point. They never did. But, and I hate to do this with Mike here, but the other thing I'm going to point out, Wilds, is once again, someone's got to help Mike McCarthy out with game management. That interception at the end of the first half, and Troy said it, that the quarterback feels it when you've got a rush, when things are going a little too fast. He had two timeouts in his pocket going into that end of half drive after the Mahomes fumble, and he went to halftime with both those timeouts still in his pocket, nice and warm next to the challenge flag. They're there for a reason. And if you use one of those timeouts, I believe at least you get a field goal on that drive, maybe you get a touchdown. And then at the end of game, Wilds, you have 4th and 9 near midfield with 8 minutes left, down 10. You just can't punt there. You just flatly, simply cannot punt there. Guess what happened? Your defense held, and it mattered nothing because you had to use all your timeouts. You got the ball back with 2.5 minutes left, no timeouts, down 10. Those are very basic decisions. Using your timeouts at the end of the first half, which he's been awful at all year, and the punt at the end of the game, if you're down 17 and you're like, all right, we're not going to win either way. I'm not going to, you know, I'm just going to try to get home. That's one thing. You're down 2 scores. You got to go for it and try to put the pressure back on Kansas City. He didn't. So I thought the defense played well. I thought the offense as a whole, it was a bad game plan and bad game management.
I agree with you. At least the punt surprised me because I also felt like the Cowboys needed a little spark.
They needed a little. They had zero swagger in that game. And when Jerry Jones went in there pregame saying, hey, this would be a hallmark win for us, and the Cowboys got down early, and it felt like they thought that they could not win the game. It was emotionally, I didn't think that they were there. Mike, I want to ask you a specific question about Chris Jones. Does Dak have a responsibility to raise his hand and be like, hey, what is going on with Chris Jones? This guy is terrorizing us, and you guys need to figure it out. Because here's Chris Jones. I'll read you Chris Jones' stat line, Mike. 3.5 sacks, 2 tackles for loss, 1 fumble recovery, and the tip that leads to an interception. They had zero answers for them. And do you think that is just on coaching, or when you were the leader of the team and a guy was terrorizing you, that you were supposed to raise your hand and say, hey, we need a new game plan to stop this guy?
Well, Wiles, it was on numerous occasions where I went to Greg Knapp, I went to Dan Reeves, and, you know, I had to check in with him to get somebody to try to block Warren Sapp, whether he was in the 3 technique or 1 technique, or it was Booger McFarland right there. You know, those guys were terror. And the reason I didn't make it to more NFC Championship games and went to a couple Super Bowls is because of that guy, you know, Warren Sapp. And when you have somebody terrorized in the middle, unblockable, it's almost like you got to deal with it. And then you can't really defuse it mid-game. It's a responsibility on that right guard who probably was blocking Chris Jones the entire course of the game to make things right. And if he can't handle him, if he can't block him, it's just going to be a mismatch throughout the course of the game. And it's tough, man. It's hard to make in-game adjustments when one guy can't block a particular player on the defensive line. And it just makes your game plan that much more difficult to execute. And it makes it tough to win.
And in defense of the Cowboys coaching staff, which I obviously was highly critical of there, they went into the game, and you might say, well, why didn't they game plan to double team Chris Jones? Because their right guard is Zach Martin, the best in football. So they went into the game thinking, we don't, like, every team doubles Chris Jones. They thought they didn't have to, and Chris Jones let them know, best right guard or not, you can't single block me. A healthy Chris Jones has been the best D tackle in football, not named Aaron Donald, over the last 3 years. And he reminded the Cowboys that. And Jenna, I think that almost single-handedly wrecked their entire offensive game plan.
Definitely. Well, Cowboys have to put this in the rearview mirror. They've got the Raiders quickly coming up on Thanksgiving Day. See what kind of adjustments Dak and the Cowboys offense make. Well, let's talk about the Chiefs side of this game. Did KC prove they're back to being the team to beat in the NFL? Swagger, Chris Broussard. We discuss that next week. First. Thanksgiving Day, the tradition on Fox continues. We come together for food, family, and football when the Bears take on the Lions. Coverage begins with a special edition of the Fox NFL pregame show at 10:30 a.m. Eastern, only on Fox and the Fox Sports app. All right, time now for Stories to Start Your Morning, sponsored by Ram Trucks, built to serve. We're starting with Cowboys Chiefs. So it wasn't an offensive bonanza or an offensive anything. The story in this game yesterday, that suddenly red-hot Chiefs defense. They picked Dak Prescott off twice. They sacked him 5 times. Pro Bowl D-tackle Chris Jones is healthy and strong. He had 3.5 of those sacks on his own. Nick Wright, that is 4 straight wins for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Jenna.
Are you ready to call the Chiefs the best team in the NFL again?
Oh, Jenna Wolf, what a question. Because I will admit, I thought about 5 weeks ago, I might not be asked this question for another year. I thought it was going to be quite some time before, even if I thought deep down in my core, in my soul, down in the marrow of my bones, that they were the best. I didn't know if we'd ever be able to get it on television after the 3-4 start. However, let's just go through the possible candidates for who the best team in football could be. There's the who was on the top of the tiers this week? The Dallas Cowboys. What happened to them this week? The Chiefs beat them. Who was right next to the Chiefs, the second level of the tiers? The Green Bay Packers. Well, the Chiefs literally just beat them and the Packers lost. So that's not great.
Come on.
Oh, the defending champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They haven't won a game in a month. And they lost by double digits to a Washington team that the Chiefs dog walked. So that's not great. The Rams all of a sudden look quite shaky, losers of two in a row. And Arizona's quarterback hasn't played in 3 weeks. So that's the NFC, unless someone wants to make a case for, I don't know, the all of a sudden hot Eagles, another team the Chiefs walked all over. So let's go to the AFC. So you have the Bills, who are falling apart in front of us. You have the Chargers, who have lost 2 of 4 and are two plays away. I'm sorry, the Ravens, who have lost 2 of 4 and are two plays away from having lost 4 in a row. You have the Chargers, who finally steadied themselves a bit last night, I guess, but still blew a 17-point fourth quarter lead to Ben Roethlisberger in 2021. So who does that leave? Oh, Wild's beloved New England Patriots. Let's not forget about the Patriots. A Patriots team that played Dallas and lost to them. And a Patriots team, can we show the strength of schedules? Because here's the underrated thing about the best team in football, the Kansas City Chiefs. They've done it against a brutal schedule. Again, other than the Giants, every team they've played is decent to very good. How's that schedule worked out for Seattle? Oh, their season's over. Meanwhile, on the other side, you have the Patriots, who have one quality win all year over the Chargers, and that's it, third easiest schedule. So, yeah, just by process of elimination, Kevin Wilds, I think I've got to say, the Chiefs, with Mahomes, a dominant second-half defense, Andy Reid, experience, health, and a nice bye week coming up. And then two straight home games against the AFC West. I got to say, I think the Chiefs are the best team in football again. I'm curious who else it could be.
Okay. If the Chiefs are the best team in football, the rest of the NFL should be very, very happy. And you said that the Chiefs beat the Packers, and then you show your strength of schedule. That is Aaron Rodgers' Packers you're talking about, not Jordan Love's Packers. So take that evidence that you just presented to our audience at home and throw it in the garbage. You would not have beaten an Aaron Rodgers-led Packers team. So here's the thing, Broussard.
I have no evidence of that.
I think that the Chiefs are a good team. They're not a scary team. Like, I went camping one time. And the camping guide said, hey, beware, there's bears here. Put your food far away from the campsite. I said, ooh, that's scary. And while we were on a trail, I said, be careful. There's thorns on this trail. I said, okay, I'm good with the thorns. That's the Chiefs. There's some thorns. You should be worried about them, but you shouldn't be super stressed about it. In the last 5 weeks, Broussard, the Chiefs have scored over 20 points one time against the Raiders. That's it. Their total scores have been 20 or below, dating back to the Washington game. You had a good game, then you lost to the Tennessee Titans. Your second half points, where teams go into the locker room and say, what do you want to do about Mahomes? They say, I've got an idea, and it works. Broussard, these are the Chiefs' second half point totals. Yesterday, 3. Against the Raiders, 24. And then the Packers, 0. The Giants, 6. The Titans, 3. Am I scared of these Chiefs? I'm not. And I'm a Mac Jones fan. And Nick will say, oh, the Patriots are starting a rookie quarterback. I know. And guess what? When you look at our common opponents, Mac Jones is doing a better job than the mighty, mighty Kansas City Chiefs. So look, if you ever get the real Patrick Mahomes back, yeah, I'd probably be nervous. But right now, I am not scared of this team. Chris Jones had a good game, but Patrick Mahomes does not look like the Patrick Mahomes of old, Broussard.
All right, Nick, I would love to jump on the bandwagon with you. As you know, I picked the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl in the preseason as well.
Side,
so I'm happy that they're playing well. I'm happy for myself. I'm a little bit happy for you even. But you're going overboard, definitively declaring them the best team in football again. Why? Didn't you learn your lesson when you went overboard and said they're going to be 20-0, and then you went overboard and said you're panicking at 3-4? You ripped Josh Allen for being a roller coaster. I should get a Nick Wright graphic with the Chiefs and show those peaks and valleys. My goodness, now you're saying they're flawless.
I was mad after the Giants game. That's it.
That's you it. Did use the phrase all-out panic mode, I believe it was. But
Wilds, you're going to have to find tape.
Wilds is right in that the offense does need to get it together. Now, I like some of the things I see. I'm not, you know, yeah, they're not putting up the gaudy numbers that they did in the past, but they are playing a little more ball control. The run game yesterday, at least with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, looks like it's back. That's a good sign. Patrick Mahomes is taking what's underneath. Eventually, that'll open up the big plays. I like all that because it also, Nick, helps the defense, right? Keeps them off the field, keeps them fresh, and that is contributing to them playing so well on that side of the ball, yeah. Obviously, as well as the health of Chris Jones and Frank Clark. So I'm with all that. But, Nick, you can't act like everything has been righted. Everything is perfect when they only scored 19 points against a Dallas team that was awesome. Missing DeMarcus Lawrence and Randy Gregory. It's a middle of the pack defense anyway. And then they only scored 13 points against Green Bay, who happened to give up 34 yesterday against Minnesota and Kirk Cousins. So I like what I see. But I'm the steady hand when it comes to the Chiefs. I'm gonna be honest. I'm not gonna get too high. I'm not gonna get too low. I'm just trying to get you tempered, my man, so you don't get disappointed in a couple weeks.
I say this with no due respect to my colleagues on the left here, or on the right of the screen. y'all both said a whole bunch of words without saying anything. Then who's the team? Give me a proper noun answer, Kevin Wilds. There's a 32-team league. I went through all the available candidates. I would like to hear the team anyone can make the case for that right now this morning deserves to be considered and held in higher regard than the Chiefs. Is it the Bills? I don't think so. Is it the Bucks? Well, let's see them win a game this month. Who is it? Is it the Rams, who everyone said, Stafford, the moment's too big for him? The Cardinals, who have an injured quarterback? The Ravens, whose quarterback is sick more than a second grader with the runny nose all the time? Who is it? Tell me the team. Because if you can't tell me the team, tell me, Broussard.
I'll give you the AFC. Because nobody else seems to want the crown, all right? None of these other pretenders.
Yeah.
I'll give you the AFC. They got to be the favorites. And they're in the, you said arguably early in the show. I'm not mad at you for saying arguably the best team in football. All right? But right now, Nick, let's be honest. If we look at the entire season to date, the best team in football has been Arizona. They have been the best. They have beaten the better teams. You mentioned Kansas City's schedule. They've lost to a lot of those good teams they played. And it might not be this way in January and February, but right now, Arizona has played the most consistent, best football on both sides of the ball, and they're still winning to some degree, even without Kyler Murray. If he comes back healthy, Nick, they have been the best team in football. You got to give that to them.
Arizona has an excellent resume. My counterpoint would be, right now, their quarterback is Colt McCoy. And the idea that Kyler, he won't get dinged again. He got hurt last year. He got hurt this year. He's the smallest quarterback literally ever. Maybe he's going to get hurt. So I would just say, you know, the team whose quarterback has never played in a playoff game and coach has never coached a playoff game, probably not the favorite over the two-time defending AFC champs. But Wilds, I want to make this clear because Broussard said I'm a roller coaster on the Chiefs.
No.
Wilds had him out of the playoffs recently, the worst defense ever. Your concern with the Chiefs now, just so I know, is the Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill offense isn't going to be good enough. That's the concern with the Chiefs?
Well, I would like to see it.
I just want to make sure I know.
No, I would like to see it. I live in the real world. I'm not into NFTs. I'm not into Bitcoin. I'm not into, this is something else.
Someone send Wilds the Raider.
The real world. So the question is this. When the Chiefs were up 9-0 in their first quarter, with time to play in their first quarter, did you, and you are dripping in objectivity, my friend, dripping in it.
Yeah.
There's a puddle of objectivity underneath your chair.
Yeah.
Dripping in it. Did you think, when you were up 9-0, should have been 10, when you were up 9-0, were you like, you know what? We're probably going to win 19. We're probably going to score 19 points. We'll probably get 10 more points over the next 3.5 quarters.
No, you're right. I didn't expect a missed field goal. I didn't expect Travis Kelce to bobble a ball, turn it into an interception. But luckily, 19 is 9 more than they needed because they held the best offense in the NFL to 9. And last I checked, big knock on the Chiefs last 3 years has been, can you trust the defense? Yeah, you can. And now the offense is dancing. They're the best team in the league again. Sorry, America. And by the way, Jenna Wilds never gave us a team. Maybe tomorrow, 7:30 a.m., Wilds will give us his team.
They get a break. They get their bye. We'll see you tomorrow, Undisputed, right now.
Hey, college football fans. Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.